You're listening to the CyberWire Network, powered by N2K.
Hey, everybody. Today, I want to highlight a name that all of us know well, and that is our sponsor, Splunk. You need to keep operations humming around the clock, but potential disruptions are everywhere. Splunk helps you predict problems and find and fix issues fast so you can reduce risk and ditch downtime. The world's largest enterprises rely on Splunk's unified security and observability platform to become more efficient, resilient, and innovative. With Splunk, you can react quickly, evolve faster, and be ready for anything. Stay ahead of disruptions. Learn more at splunk.com/resilience. And we thank Splunk for sponsoring our show. In the dynamic world of enterprise security, identity architects and IT leaders face a major challenge. Growth by repeated acquisitions multiplies the complexity of everything. Multiple IDPs, MFA providers, policy engines that all need to coexist. This can lead to fragmented user identities and policies that create security vulnerabilities and add access friction. Strata Identity solves this. Now you can decommission unneeded IDPs and consolidate the ones you'd like to keep without rewriting apps or disrupting users, engineers, and app owners. Plus, Strata's modular architecture makes it easy to integrate with any identity provider without manual maintenance and coding. Join the ranks of cybersecurity leaders using identity orchestration. Visit strata.io/cyberwire, share your top identity security priorities, and receive a pair of complimentary AirPods Pro. Offer valid for organizations with over 5,000 employees. Step into a new era of identity management at strata.io/cyberwire. Reports suggest U.S. human collection in Russia has dried up. Russian intelligence services are showing an interest in disrupting a grant of autonomy to the Ukrainian Orthodox Church by the Ecumenical Patriarch. Turkish hacktivism shows up in the U.S. as journalists' social media accounts are hijacked. A look at Iranian information operations. ISIS limps back into cyberspace. And a new point-of-sale malware family is discovered. From the CyberWire studios at Datatribe, I'm Dave Bittner with your CyberWire summary for Monday, August 27, 2018. As the week opens, there's considerable news of state-directed espionage and information operations, as well as some efforts that may represent patriotic hacktivism closely aligned with state interests. The New York Times reported over the weekend that CIA sources inside Russia have gone dark and have possibly gone underground, leaving Langley with much less insight than it formerly had into Russian intentions, especially intentions with respect to U.S. midterm elections. The story cites sources inside the intelligence community who say they think the agents probably went underground as opposed to having been arrested or killed by Russian security services. Commentators speculate about a range of causes for the agents' disappearance. These run from the Russian sources having been spooked and intimidated by the attempted assassination of Sergei Skripal in Salisbury, England, to more aggressive and effective Russian counterintelligence, to the theory that the agents never existed in the first place. That third possibility is the least plausible. It's being retailed by Russia Today in response to the New York Times piece. RT says that, quote, "Not for a moment do the authors or their anonymous sources from inside the U.S. spy community contemplate the possibility that Russia might not be doing anything at all. That, however, would upset the apple cart of Russian meddling, carefully built from smoke and mirrors since mid-2016, and that just wouldn't do." End quote. Forgive them the mixed metaphor of an apple cart being built of smoke and mirrors, although that indeed would be worth seeing, but their next claim is less forgivable. RT thinks that concerns about Skripal's attempted assassination by Novichok nerve agent is more evidence that the whole affair is bogus, because the Salisbury attack is something, quote, for which the British authorities never provided any evidence, end quote. Essentially, no thinking person outside the editorial staff of RT believes that. Probably not even the editorial staff of RT itself. But that's another apple cart. In any case, the New York Times says that Human Intelligence, HUMINT, about 2018 election influence operations, has dried up. The story's developing. We shall see. In other news that's been evergreen since AD 1054, the Russian government is said to be collecting intelligence on the Orthodox Church. This time the target is private correspondence of Ecumenical Patriarch Bartholomew I, whose seat is in Istanbul, formerly Constantinople. Russian interests in Ukrainian religious developments apparently provides the proximate motive. Patriarch Bartholomew is considering whether to grant the Ukrainian Orthodox Church autonomy from the Patriarch of Moscow. Doing so would be seen in the Kremlin as an unwelcome blow to general Russian claims of transnational relevance and authority. Tensions between the U.S. and Turkey, connected to Turkey's detention of a U.S. missionary and Turkey's growing rapprochement with Russia, have manifested themselves in hacktivism by supporters of Turkish President Erdogan. CrowdStrike reports that members of the group Ayildiz Tim took over social media accounts belonging to journalists at Fox News, Bloomberg, and The New York Times. Ayildiz Tim claims the support of Turkish security services, but it's worth noting that Turkey has for some years had active groups of patriotic hacktivists. Like Ayildiz Tim, they often show an Ottoman nostalgia that marks the Turkish government's current retreat from the republic's traditional Kemalist secularism. Security and cyber intelligence firm FireEye is receiving mash notes from several newspapers. The prize for most starstruck goes to the Los Angeles Times, which gushes about the company's analyst being the Navy SEALs of cyberspace. Breathlessness aside, FireEye deserves credit for the work it's done over the past few weeks, identifying and unmasking the Iranian cyber operators active in disinformation campaigns against regional and Western rivals and opponents. Their advice facilitated takedowns of bogus, inauthentic sites representing themselves as legitimate ones. Not the least of the company's contributions may be its account of inauthenticity, which may be far more useful in countering information operations than criteria like fake or hateful or inappropriate, all of which seem to enmesh social media and IT firms in problematic content judgments. FireEye uses inauthentic to describe sites that are not transparent in their origins and affiliations, undertake concerted efforts to mask those origins, and often use false social media personas to promote their content. In the case of Iranian operations, the content on the bogus sites was in large part cut and pasted from other original sites, sometimes altered, and stitched together with poorly constructed passages not written by native speakers of the languages in which they were cast. The other large Iranian campaign currently under discussion was described by SecureWorks under the name Cobalt Dickens. This espionage effort, largely directed against university targets and presumably being conducted to gain access to newly developed technology, has exhibited connections with Iran's Mabna Institute, named in earlier U.S. indictments of Iranian hackers. Iranian cyber operations are generally thought likely to increase as sanctions are reimposed on Tehran for its nuclear program. U.S. Army Cyber Command's leader thinks ISIS will step up its online activity as the small remaining physical territory of its aspiring caliphate shrinks to insignificance. He's not alone. The group now holds only small, discontinuous pockets in Syria and Iraq, and it's increasingly being displaced by competing jihadist groups in the struggle for adherence. Its current online activities consist significantly in taking credit for unrelated acts of ordinary, if brutal, crime, usually murders. Researchers at Booz Allen Hamilton report on RTPOS, a newly identified point-of-sale malware family. RTPOS's lack of data exfiltration capability suggests, disturbingly, that it's a post-compromise tool. The researchers note that the malware is simple, highly automated, and flies easily under much of the detection radar in place to watch for point-of-sale systems. Security firm Securonix has an account of the theft of $13.5 million from India's Cosmos Bank in the second week of this month. It involved a malware infection, an ATM switch compromise, and a compromise of the bank's SWIFT environment. They think the infection originated with spear phishing, and they say the prime suspect is one of the usual ones, North Korea's Lazarus Group.
And now, a word from our sponsor, Zscaler, the leader in cloud security. Cyber attackers are using AI in creative ways to compromise users and breach organizations. In a security landscape where you must fight AI with AI, the best AI protection comes from having the best data. Zscaler has extended its zero-trust architecture with powerful AI engines that are trained and tuned by 500 trillion daily signals. Learn more about Zscaler Zero Trust Plus AI to prevent ransomware and AI attacks. Experience your world secured. Visit zscaler.com/zero-trust-AI. The IT world used to be simpler. You only had to secure and manage environments that you controlled. Then came new technologies and new ways to work. Now, employees, apps, and networks are everywhere. This means poor visibility, security gaps, and added risk. That's why Cloudflare created the first-ever connectivity cloud. Visit cloudflare.com to protect your business everywhere you do business.
And I'm pleased to be joined once again by David DeFore. He's the Senior Director of Cybersecurity and Engineering at Webroot. David, welcome back. We wanted to touch today some on the different roles that different team makers play in an organization when it comes to effective security. And we wanted to talk about engineers. There's some misunderstanding there. What can you share with us?
Well, you know, I'm fortunate to run a great engineering org inside of a cybersecurity company. So we can look at things a little bit from a couple of perspectives. You know, generally engineers have a really good deep knowledge of software, how it works. We're talking about computer engineers, of course. So we have a great relationship with our CISO and our security organization. So being in engineering, we can see things potentially that could be problems that other folks in the organization may not witness to you. So we try to foster a relationship with our engineering team to work with other organizations, marketing, sales, the CISO, just to kind of let them know what we're doing and our experience.
Now, how about communications? I mean, do you have to come up with sort of an unofficial Rosetta Stone so that everybody can be speaking the same language?
You know, I don't know why you'd say that, David, because engineers are the most clearly understandable people on the planet.
Go on.
No, honestly, we have some engineers that we joke, you know, some of our machine learning folks, they can only speak in calculus.
Right.
Like they think they're dumbing it down when they're writing, you know, formulas for you instead of, straight up calculus. So, but to your point, I think we've identified several key folks inside of our organization who speak engineering and security in a way that takes it out more broadly. And the good thing about that, identifying those types of people, is it allows them to convey the excitement that engineering folks typically have about what they're making and what they're doing to other parts of the organization, which in our environment here then allows our sales and marketing folks to really take that excitement out to the rest of the world. So to say every engineer can speak to everyone, I think that's a stretch. But what you have to do is identify those folks who can really take the message out of engineering into the rest of the organization.
And how do you foster that environment of collaboration and make sure that those folks don't end up siloed?
Yeah, David, that's a great question. And the first thing you have to do is always, always keep pushing, because it's very natural for folks to get heads down, to really want to focus on what they're doing, because most engineers, what they're doing, they love to do, and they'd rather just work on that all day. So it takes effort and energy to push them. And so a lot of times, your internal PR, external PR, they make a great bridge for drawing people out to be able to communicate what they're doing. You know, sometimes as a engineering management lead, I've got to set up discussions and force people kind of to spread their wings a little bit. But once they see folks are curious, once you're fostering those conversations, it kind of starts to take on a natural life of its own. But you do have to push, and you've got to, you know, you got to put energy into it.
Yeah. All right. Well, it's a good perspective, as always. David DeFore, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me, David.
Managing the requirements for modern security programs is increasingly challenging and time-consuming. Enter Vanta. Vanta gives you one place to centralize and scale your security program. Quickly assess risk, streamline security reviews, and automate compliance for ISO 27001, SOC 2, and more. You can leverage Vanta's market-leading trust management platform to unify risk management and secure the trust of your customers. Plus, use Vanta AI to save time when completing security questionnaires. CyberWire daily listeners can get $1,000 off by going to vanta.com/cyber. That's vanta.com/cyber.
And that's the CyberWire. For links to all of today's stories, check out our daily briefing at thecyberwire.com. And for professionals and cybersecurity leaders who want to stay abreast of this rapidly evolving field, sign up for CyberWire Pro. It'll save you time and keep you informed. Listen for us on your Alexa smart speaker, too. The CyberWire podcast is proudly produced in Maryland out of the startup studios of Data Tribe, where they're co-building the next generation of cybersecurity teams and technologies. Our amazing CyberWire team is Elliot Peltzman, Peru Prakash, Stefan Vaziri, Kelsey Bond, Tim Nodar, Joe Kerrigan, Carol Terrio, Ben Yellen, Nick Vilecki, Gina Johnson, Bennett Moe, Chris Russell, John Petrick, Jennifer Iben, Rick Howard, Peter Kilpie, and I'm Dave Bittner. Thanks for listening. We'll see you back here tomorrow. And now, a word from our sponsor, SixthSense. SixthSense provides award-winning cloud-based automated endpoint and vulnerability management solutions to streamline IT and security operations. With its advanced platform, businesses gain complete visibility and control over their infrastructure, reducing IT and security risks and optimizing operational efficiency. With SixthSense, you'll get real-time alerts, risk-based vulnerability prioritization and remediations, and an intuitive automation and orchestration engine so you can focus on your core business goals, confident in the knowledge that your enterprise is secure, compliant, and running smoothly. To learn why enterprises choose SixthSense, visit SixthSense.com.